Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston's special live coverage of TEDx Boston at Faneuil Hall. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And we're here outside of Faneuil Hall facing Quincy Market. And we're hearing now from some of the biggest thinkers in Boston who have been speaking today at the TEDx Boston conference.
Well, one of those talks asked a very interesting question. Where's one of the best places to find truly innovative design? Answer, look no further than a classroom.
But we know from experience that young people should believe that there's urgent need in the world to hear their ideas and their solutions, and that they should be given the space to work on world issues that matter today.
That's Carrie Fitzsimmons, along with Andrea Sachdeva. They talked today about the new Art Science Prize, an educational challenge that asks students to channel their passions into remarkable innovation. Anything from a fashion line using recycled plastic bags to a device that sends scents across the ocean.
Carrie is executive director of Art Science Labs and founding director of the Art Science Prize. And Andrea is international director of education for the Art Science Prize. They're here at our table outside of Faneuil Hall now. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So first of all, can you just briefly explain to us what exactly is the Art Science Prize?
The Art Science Prize is really a creativity curriculum. It teaches young people how to develop innovative ideas.
Okay. And so you said it's a curriculum rather than a prize. So it's a whole way of thinking being introduced into a classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. So we start young people off with a cutting-edge scientific theme of the year, and we really want them to engage with a topic where even experts in the field have lots of unanswered questions that... where there's a big need for new solutions in the world. And so we take them through a curricular program, but it also ends up in a project-pinching competition where they can gain funding for those ideas.
Okay, and so I believe this year or recently, one of those big sort of cutting-edge ideas that you introduced in the classroom was actually a really significant one, synthetic biology, right?
Yeah. That was one of the scientific themes.
One of the scientific themes. Okay, so how then do you get kids to engage and bring their innovations to something which is so new that every bit of research done about it is innovative in and of itself?
Yeah, well, it all starts with students' personal passion, which is not often what they're asked to start with in school. Usually it's a question from a textbook or a question that the teacher has, but we ask young people to kind of tap into what they're really interested in. So those ideas in synthetic biology that year, we had students do a lot of brainstorming, a lot of creative explorations across disciplines, developing prototypes and experiments, talking with guest experts, and the ideas that came out in the end were everything from new synthetic organisms that they wanted to create to new fashion lines to mobile apps.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so let's step back in time a little bit, because in your talk you mentioned that the founder of the prize, David Edwards, he had encouraged his students at Harvard to do something in particular, to embrace innocence and be unencumbered by the immediate feasibility of their ideas. Now, I actually wonder if that was kind of hard for the students, especially some pretty motivated ones.
Well, for sure. David started his first iterations of his idea translation process at Harvard in 2003. And so, yes, he was able to work through that and with the new process in the classroom, work through those issues.
Yeah. So what kind of ideas came out of being unencumbered by feasibility?
Well, one is an idea that we showcased in the talk, the O-phone, which is literally, if you were to think of, rather than sending a text message to a friend, you're actually sending a scent message to them where you're having a great meal and you're actually able to kind of recreate that and send it through a device to another person. But last year we were actually working with them on the problem of jellyfish blooms and how those are kind of really affecting our oceans today. And so we had everything come out of that, from ideas for new food trucks to new materials.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so that's at the college level, but you've been actually implementing the Art Science Prize into the high school level right here in Boston, right?
Yes, we officially launched that in 2009.
Okay, and so how has that been going?
It's been fantastic. And, you know, David first approached us with the question, can this model of idea translation work for high school students as well, outside of, you know, the university students he'd been working with? And it absolutely does work. And we find that young people now around the world, even as young as 14, are part of our network, and they have amazing ideas as they go through this process.
So you mentioned around the world.
Yes.
And in your talk today, I was really captured by what's a basic challenge in terms of the different ways that students are taught and learned based on the cultures in which that's happening. So what are some of the challenges that you've seen in places like Asia or the UK where right. you brought the Art Science
well,
Prize?
Well, what was enlightening for us is that with the curriculum, the different cultural contexts might mean something different. And as I mentioned in the talk, in Singapore, they were taking their first steps away from rote learning. So it's sort of how to encourage and help the teachers in the classroom to really embrace the ambiguity that the students are sort of, their ideas are taking them into places that no one really knows the answer.
And we often actually find that this is an easier process for the students than for the teachers that are working with them, because those teachers grew up in environments that weren't focused on creative learning themselves.
I see. So, I mean, as I heard your talking, as we're discussing today, this just seems to be a whole, it's not a prize, it's not a curriculum, it's a whole different approach to learning.
Right.
Isn't
right.
it? Yes. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we believe that the passion focus and definitely the interdisciplinary focus is a really new way of learning. Nothing remotely like passion-driven learning or interdisciplinary education has ever been done before, but what we're really excited about is that we found a model that can work and be adapted to so many different cultural environments, different age groups, in school and out of school. And so we think that that's incredibly unique.
Okay. Now, before I let you go, I just want to quickly mention that there's one other aspect of the art science movement, let's call it yes. a movement, that's coming at the end of this month, a
yes.
lab
yes.
in Cambridge.
Yes, we're opening Le Laboratoire Cambridge, and it's modeled after David's first lab in Paris, Le Laboratoire. And it's a cultural center where we invite the public into the creative process.
So that is opening on October 31st?
October 31st, it'll be open to the public.
In Kendall Square in Cambridge.
In Kendall Square, yes.
Well, terrific. Carrie Fitzsimmons is Executive Director of Art Science Labs, and she's Founding Director of the Art Science Prize. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Andrea Suchdeva is International Director of Education for the Art Science Prize. It was great to talk to you, too. Thank you so much,
Thank
Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you.